them that they're here, Father God, but they will know, dear Lord, that you have blessed them and that you have a plan and a destiny, not only for them as a couple, for each one of their children, Lord. And Lord, I pray that they will walk out in confidence, Lord. They will not live in fear. They will not live in timidity. And Lord, that they will realize that they are victors and not victims. And Lord, that they will have more faith than fear. And we declare that in Jesus' name.
Okay. Anyone else have seven children? Okay. You know, just as I was praying, I was reminded again yesterday what God had showed me that, you know, in the church today, we have too many people who have big butts. Time to get our butts smaller and to get rid of our big butt. And what I mean by that is so often when I'm sharing with people, and, you know, what are your dreams? Well, this is my vision, but, you know, why do you feel you can't do it? But, well, I can't because, but, I don't have the money. But, I don't have, you know, the family that supports me. But, you know, and I'm just telling you, just get rid of these big butts. Like, this is time to get small butts back. We don't want the big butts in the church. And the other thing is stop saying the four-letter F word. Okay, the four-letter F word to me is a swear word. You know what that is? The four-letter F word to me is fear. F-E-A-R. Get rid of fear. It's time to get the four-letter F word out of here, and it's time to get the big butts out of here. And girls, do you want the double D's?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Aha! Double D is we need to get our desire back and our determination. You need both. We need the double D's. Desire and determination.
You know, every time she brings up that big butt, I always want to look in the mirror or something. I'm like, is she talking about me? I'm working on it. The Stairmaster thing is working.
Wow.
Yeah, she's going, now you can have whatever time is left over. This is the story of my life. You know, I was a pastor in a church, and it was the Church of Christ. Now, does anybody know anything about Churches of Christ?
We love our
heritage, but there were three things. One, there were no musical instruments. Everything was a cappella, just voices only. And when it was good, it was really good. And when it was bad, it was really bad. So-and-so sang off key louder than everybody else. Oh, Lord. You talk about making a joyful noise. I don't think it was very joyful at all to the Lord. It's kind of like the angels are putting their fingers in their ears going, ooh, that just kind of hurts a little bit. So that was one thing. The second thing was there was no moving of the Holy Spirit, no prophetic, no praying for healing, no. What was? You know, the Lord is in His holy temple, let everyone keep silent before Him. So everybody kept silent. It was really boring. And number three is women didn't do any ministry publicly. It didn't at all. So what Debbie just did wouldn't even be allowed. So in those days, it was good for me because I could do that. But those things are fun. So we do this together. We talk. And everybody goes, well, Mike, you're the one who talks more than Debbie. I go, well, not all the time. When the Lord downloads something, I'm in awe. I've been married to Debbie for over 30 years. She's journeyed through ups and downs, and hard times, and good times, tough times, difficult times, and wonderful times. And we've journeyed along together, and I tell you, let me say this, I continue to be amazed at what God is doing in this small town, farm girl in Saskatchewan, who grew up in this little town of a couple hundred people, who had a vision and a dream. Just to see it unfold, it absolutely amazes me. It amazes me what God has done. And I want to encourage you with this, never underestimate small beginnings. You know, there's a passage in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 13, 12, and it says, hope deferred. So hope that we don't get to makes your heart sick.
Yeah.
You guys understand that? Mm-hmm. When you hope and dream for something that's not there yet, and you just kind of feel sick on the inside. You're going, Lord, but you promised and your word says and it's not there yet. I want to encourage you again, don't give up. Don't give up. I don't know when the prayer is going to be answered. I don't know when the outcome is going to be. I I can't speak that for you. But don't give up hope again. Because we don't know the big picture. You know, sometimes a couple, you know, Debbie and I come in and they clean up pretty good. And you go, oh, look at them. You don't know the whole story. You see people in different areas of life and you go, oh, look at them. They've had no problems in their life. And no, you don't know the whole story. Just like I don't know your story, I don't know your story. But if we had some time and sit down and you could tell it, I would know your story. How you're at this place right now, whatever the circumstances are. But there's a story that Debbie and I have. When I pastored in Milton, not very far from here, this little country church, we didn't, our kids were young, we didn't have a lot of money. You know what I did? I delivered newspapers. I got up at 4 o'clock every morning and picked up newspapers.
And this is a man who has lots of college education.
I got 4 college degrees. And I'm out delivering newspapers. And you know why? Because you do what you gotta do for your family. Did I have visions and dreams and hope? Was this what I had hoped for? No. But you do what you gotta do for your family. And the kids, they still joke about it because some of the stuff I did was rural. So I would, our three sons, if Debbie was away doing some stuff work-wise, and I'd load the kids up at 4 in the morning in the back of the van and make them a little bed back there and pile all the newspapers in. Just, you know, rural delivery, driving around, throwing newspapers in people's driveways. Hey, pretty good at it. Worked out to be a farmer. Then in the winter, it was terrible because it was snowing. Sometimes you hit the snow and off in the go like a... So I had to stop and go find some bush and put it back in. But you do what you gotta do. There's always a story behind things. And everybody says, oh, they're like an overnight success. You know how long overnight success takes? About 20 years. Oh, they're all 20 years? Mark my words, 20 years. I talk to people about 20 years. To be an overnight success. And why would it cost money to get money quickly? It goes quickly. But a wise man gathers up little by little. Because something has to change on the inside of us as we gather up little by little. I want to share with you just three things that we have learned over the course of our life. Three principles, three ideas. Do we know everything? No. Do we know a couple of things? Yeah, because we've lived them out. And we live them out over and over again that these things work. We talk to other people, and they work. And they're in the Bible. It's in the Bible, and you put it into practice, it works. Not just because it's in the Bible. You know, the Bible is a revelation of God, but it also is a story of things that are true. Do you understand that? The Bible reflects and writes it, and the history was written down, the stories were written down of things that are true. Because when you live them out, they're self-evident. So three things. Number one, being thankful. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, in all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. Let me tell you what it does when you have an attitude of thankfulness. It changes something on the inside of you. You may be in a real difficult place right now, but you can go, I got 2 hands and most of the time they work. I got 2 feet and I can kind of get around. I got air in my lungs. I got eyes that can see mostly if I have glasses or contacts or whatever I need. I got a brain that functions most of the time. Yes, my wife, she'd say it's not quite as often as it should be. But it functions generally pretty good. I can do some things. And I choose to focus. Even in the most challenging of circumstances, we made a decision that we were going to focus on those things that we had and could do, rather than those things we didn't have. We chose an attitude of thankfulness.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I'm in this house today. I'm thankful that I have people around me who care about me. I'm thankful there's a leadership in this church, Pastor Patty and Alex, who love people and who love you and believe in you. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to serve. I'm thankful. thankful that we have an opportunity to worship God. I'm thankful I got a few dollars in my pocket that I can. I'm thankful for those little things. I'm thankful that I got shoes on my feet. They may not be the shoes that I want, but I got shoes on my feet.
Amen.
I'm thankful that generally I'm good to go and I'm good to go. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that you start to have an attitude of thankfulness. The people around are a little better looking. It's amazing how it begins to change. The Bible talks about being thankful because it's good for us. I'm a big fan of finding people who research things that have to do with the Bible. And there is a lady, she is from South Africa, and she is a brain, I'm just going to call it like brain researcher. She studies the brain. She's not a medical doctor, but she's a researcher who studies the brain. So all those images, you know, CAT scans and PET scans and MRIs and all those kind of things. And they do study all the things about the brain. You know what she found out? She lives very close to us in Texas. She has found out that when people choose to focus on things that are good, and the Bible talks about whatever is good and right and lovely, focus on these things, meditate on these things. You know what the researchers found? Good things happen in our brain. Good things happen in our brain. Our brain actually begins to rewire itself at the cellular level.
That's right.
And you find this stuff out. And go, but it confirms that a lot of people have already understood. The research is backing it up. This stuff works. It's good for us physically. It helps our physical body when we focus on those things that are good. I've often said, you know, when you have a thing of water, half full or half empty. Well, it really depends on how you look at it. Right? It totally depends on how you look at it. If you see it as half empty, you're going to have a different attitude than if it's half full. Is my life all that it should be and all that I want it to be? Well, no, it's not yet. But is it? Is it along the way a little bit? Yeah. Can I focus on those good things? So one of the things that I found is having an attitude of thankfulness changes us, opens up possibilities that we didn't see before, opens up opportunities that wouldn't be there. How many people like being around someone who's thankful and positive versus negative? Right? So if you like being around those people, I got an idea for you. Be that person.
Right.
For other people to hang around with. You know, birds of a feather flock together. You ever notice? You ever notice how negative people seem to find other negative people?
Uh-huh.
I found this. I was a pastor in church for 25 years. And somebody would join the church, and I swear it didn't take 5 minutes, and they found the other negative people in the church. I had no idea how they did it. They just found them. Oh, are you kidding me? Get around some positive people and begin to change some things in what you do. Because the words that we speak are important. Number two, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 21, the power of life and death is where?
In the tongue.
Right here. Right here. The words that we speak to other people and the words that we speak to ourselves. How many people love a little thing? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but is that true?
No.
It's not true at all. I can think of things that were said to me when I was a little kid. I have had a few broken bones. Thank you, Lord. But those things are memorable. And if I spend enough time thinking about it, I can even go back and experience some of the pain that I felt when those things were said. My dad, when I was growing up, he was an active alcoholic. He was really angry. And he would rough my mom a little bit. Big enough, he didn't do that anymore. But I remember things that he said, he'll never amount to anything. He'll never amount. I've forgotten more than you know. You're still wet behind the ears. Those little phrases. Where in the heck did you come up with these stupid phrases? That was kind of my first thought. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. But you know what? You say these things out of anger, and they hurt. One of the things I found is there is life and death in the power of the tongue. mistakes over. You know, one of the things I had to forgive you. And you know the best gift I ever gave myself was to forgive my dad. Two things happened. One, I wasn't as angry anymore. And number two, he actually became kind of a nice guy. Absolutely the most unbelievable thing. But he and I would talk about some of those things, and he would apologize for them. I was drunk, and I was angry, and I was sorry I said those things. And I know he meant it. But one of the things I had to recognize was I had to cut those things off of my life. And number two, I had to make sure that I didn't continue the gift that I was given of having an alcoholic father. Do you know you find alcoholism runs in families? Do you know what we found out in research? Great-grandfather, grandfather, father, alcoholics. Do you know what Debbie and I decided to do? Because we both came from challenging circumstances. The buck stops here. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what we have to do. We are going to cut this off and not pass it on to another generation. We are not going to let it happen. Somebody's got to stand up and say, no more. We're not doing that anymore. And then I had to be very careful as I was working through my stuff. What words was I speaking? We have three sons, all grown. What words was I speaking? What words were we speaking to our sons? Were we speaking life? Were we speaking our hopes and beliefs and expectations for them? That we saw in them things, that we spoke blessing and life into there? That's what we did. We're going to our son's graduation on Friday coming up. He's graduated from medical school. He's a smart kid. He's like his mother. He's good looking. He's like his mother as well. He's got a great personality. Also, he gets that from you as well. Those other things. But I thought about it. I go, this is absolutely amazing. He worked hard. Make no mistake about it. We didn't do the work for him. He had to do the work, but an opportunity was there. But we spoke words and we believed in him. We believed, and he'd phone us and go, I am so frustrated, I can't study anymore, it's too hard. I go, you can do it. We believe in you. He'd get back here and study and pass that next week. I tell you, it overwhelms us of God's goodness in our life because of some things he taught us through his word, that we can speak life into the next generation. Things could be different. Things could be different. Could it happen instantly? There's no get rich quick. There's no quick change. Things have to be walked out. We receive salvation, but then what do we have to do?
We have to walk it out,
right? We receive the gift of God's forgiveness, and then we have to walk it out, right? We have to walk it out, and that's the journey. That's the journey. So the number two thing, we watch our words. And I want to just focus in on this. Watch the words that you speak to yourself as well. Do you know there's words that I say to myself that the words that I used to say to myself, if anybody else said those things to me, I'd punch them right in the nose. Seriously. If somebody came up and said that to me, I'd punch them right in the nose. Those are fighting words. But I'd say them to myself.
Yes.
Watch the words that you speak to yourself. And if you see yourself going, I'm stupid. I'm nobody. I'll never. Just go, stop that in the name of Jesus. Say that to yourself. Stop that in the name of Jesus. Because I am a child of the King. Because he has a purpose for my life. Because I am somebody. Because he loves me. Because there are people who believe in me. I'm speaking out loud.
Yeah.
If you have to yell it out loud, be careful who's around you. You're really trying to think, oh my goodness. Be careful who you know. But you speak it over your life. If nobody else is going to do it, you be the one to speak it over your life. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Number two. So what's the first one? Be thankful. Number two, watch the words you speak. Number three, be a person who is a giver. Not just a receiver. There were times in our life where we were very thankful to receive. We lived in Texas about 1985. We were doing a church internship down there. We didn't have hardly anything. And there were some people who had, and they gave some things to us, words of encouragement, blessing, and they gave us some finances, and we were incredibly thankful. moments where we receive, and we receive very gladly and thankfully. In addition to that, though, we were in a place going, someday we want to be people who are able to give. Debbie has a beautiful smile, doesn't she? She didn't always have a beautiful smile. In fact, when I married her, she didn't have that beautiful smile. But when we had, you were in the ministry, and there was a couple, he was a dentist, and he said, I think you keep up braces and get little arrangements there. I gave money so that you could get braces. And I tell you, when they came off, that beautiful smile, that radiant smile, it absolutely blew me away. And you know what we made a decision to do? We're going to find some other people and do the same thing for them. There's a young girl back home in our church, just about done. And we said, man, I tell you, that girl did it because her parents couldn't afford it. We do that for her. And we have. And I tell you, every time I see her, she walks up to me and she goes, great smile. And I go, you are so beautiful. She's such a beautiful God. Her life is going to be changed by that one thing. Because somebody sowed into our lives, we made a decision to give them somebody else's lives. Two people that Debbie gave the prophetic word over had brought some books here. We gave those as a gift to those people. Because we want to be people who sow. Well, that's because you guys have something to sow. You know what? That's not true. Everybody's got something to sow.
Amen.
Even a little bit is seed to be able to be sown. And I want to encourage you in your life, when there's opportunity to give, no matter what, if you just have to scratch together a little bit. There were times when Debbie and I didn't have much. We were looking at the couch for change. Anybody else ever done that? Looking at the couch, looking at the car seat. You know, Debbie needs a seat for change. You're looking for something. You just need something until that next paycheck comes or that next check comes or the next bit of money you're looking for. We were there. We were there. You have something to be able to sow. Because when you sow, then you can reap. And you know, how many people know? I grew up on a farm. When you sow, you don't go dig the seed up and wonder what's going on. Okay, you're not reaping. How long does it take? It takes about 100 days. It takes about 100 days for wheat. Vegetable garden takes a little while. Some things take a little longer. But you're sowing and you're reaping. And you take opportunity to do it. Because you never know exactly when that. You know, when you're sowing, it changes the way that you think. It's not about it's mine, but God has entrusted me, and I want to be a person who is able to give. I give what I can. God doesn't expect you to give what you don't have. He expects you to give what you do have. And only you know what you have. Don't hold on to it. Be able to be in a place where you can give. Now, some people say, well, you can give the whole thing. Well, that's not good management. Because you've got bills to pay and obligations and stuff. But you give what you've determined. The Bible talks about you give as you have planned. You give as you have set aside. And God is amazing. Even in 2 Corinthians, he talks about God when you give seeds to be sold. Amazing sometimes how God even does that. What we're going to do, and I'm going to turn things back over to Patty. You got one more thing?
One more thing. This is my first weekend meeting, and I love when we talk to him. We wish we had more time because he just has such a passion to give. And Mike has always been that kind of person. They used to joke with me when I would travel. They're like, if she wants to travel, he wants to be home. He might not have any furniture in the house if Mike would have given away everything. And it's so true. He loves to give, and someday I'd like him to give you the whole message because it's a beautiful message. But I wanted to share, before we turn it back to Pastor Patty and Alex, you know, I just really sensed as Mike was sharing, the Father loves to give to each and every one of us. He doesn't only love us to give, He loves to give. That's why His Son, you know, we have His grace, but you think of what we've got. And I'm just reminded of, you know, as we were talking and speaking of destiny and purpose and desires and this, I mean, God, you've given us that. We haven't had the pain for that. We don't have the pain for that. And I thought about it as the little children came in and they used, you know, everybody in life loves to get something for you. Let's just be perfectly honest. I mean, in the United States, I love to go and watch at grocery stores on Sunday afternoons because that's just the time that they give all these free samples out. And it just, everybody loves. I don't know. I can afford whatever groceries I want, but I tell you, God got it to know. And you know, like I said, it's kind of like nice to be like, we want to tell you something in our business that we do from time to time. We, and I'm sharing this because it amazes me how everybody likes to get something for free, but we always don't like to do something with that free gift. And in our business, in our company, we run every once in a while. Now, basically, we've made it so that people can join our company and start their own business. We've made it so easy for them. We're like no other plan people say, multi-level. No, God actually gave me the marketing plan on Air Canada napkin on the air. So I had no idea where this plan came from. I just know that my vision was anybody who wanted to come in, be part-time, they could be full-time, they could be big-time, they could. Anyways, now that financially as a company, grown, we're a multi-million dollar company, we started last year offering what we call free kits, a free opportunity to get into business. Well, I want to tell you, there was a lot of people who thought we were crazy in the business, and they were like, we can't do that, that's not right. People need to work for things. People need to, why are we giving them the free opportunity to get involved in our company? And I remember, and this has just touched me over and over again, is that some people have been saying, whoa, your company must really be struggling. You must be desperate if you're giving away free kits. And it was like the complete opposite. It's very expensive for us to do this. It can cost us anywhere between $400,000 and $600,000 each time we do this. But it's the opposite. But what it means is me. Is we give everyone the opportunity, and we'll have sometimes we'll be between the two countries. I know the United States in 1 month, we had 12,000 people that came into the business. Now, you know what? It always amazes me. If I knew before we did this that there would be people who would take it, and you know what? And I accepted that. They're going to take it, do nothing with it. They're just going to sign up because they get free good product. And I dealt with that one and thought, well, that's okay. Why would I give, I know that there's going to be people who do that, but why would I let those people affect those who never would have the opportunity to start their own business and take it? In fact, it amazes me every time I hear testimonies, people say, you know what, I joined in the month that it was free. I want you to know that a single mom not being able to put food on the table. I had one mother just in Minneapolis, share, Minneapolis had just gone through the divorce. There was no way. I've always dreamt of being part of your company. There was no way I could have done it because I really couldn't risk. But when you guys offered free opportunity to join, I thought, what do I have to lose? But I took it and I worked it. Well, now, it's amazing. Her child came up after and gave me a testimony as well. And said that basically, since my mommy started making the product. So I had to tell myself, this never people take advantage of it. At least they're getting good product and it's going to help them. Kind of like with food. All gifts, even if people take advantage, well, at least they got something good. And I share that to say, that's kind of like the destinies and dreams God gives you. They're free. But what you decide to do with that is what you decide to do with that. Similar to in our company. I give you something free, I don't get to tell you what you have to do. And this, keep in mind, is God put on our heart, we do it with no strings attached. I couldn't even say it. You can have this free, but you must sell so-and-so. So you must bring on, God says, no strings attached. Free. And it's been fun to watch and see who takes the free and does something with it. And I miss that so much, what happens in the kingdom of God. God gives us free. We have free destiny. He gives us free the desires of our heart. But guess what? We get to choose what we do with that. And so I just wanted to speak that over you. And can I ask everybody who's 4 and 12 years old, do you mind coming up here really quick? It won't take long. Let's go.
Okay, kids, don't come up yet. We're going to do that. Don't come yet. We're going to do it at this moment. We're going to turn it over to Pastor Patty, and then we're going to do that after. Okay? So just be a minute.
Well, are you blessed this morning?
Thank you. know, I so appreciate who God sends. Every time that He sends us a special guest, I know that there is a deposit of the kingdom of God and a seed that is in them. God is bringing us here to sow it. And I'm just so honored that you guys would be with us. And you know, we are so blessed in the Revival Center. The tremendous quality of people that we come to sow into our lives. God must think we're good ground. What do you think? That He would sow a seed like that into us. I believe we're amazing ground. I believe you guys are phenomenal ground. And if we just think about even some of the people who have sown into our lives over the last year that have been in this pulpit and have still done so, it's just so amazing. You guys must be something special in this place. I agree with that. And there's something special. And you know what? There's something reciprocal in the kingdom of God. That when you sow, you reap a blessing. And I really want to sow into them this morning. I want to bless them. I want to honor them, even as my husband was speaking this morning. Because I know that when you give a prophet even a cup of water, you reap a prophet's reward. And I believe that they have such a destiny connection all over them. Really, I believe that means a prophet in the marketplace. And it's awesome to see that. And how they function together as a prophetic apostolic team and my coaches and mentors and raising up sons and daughters. And that's everything that we believe in this place. And so would you join with me in sowing a seed into them today, because God chose to use them to sow a seed into us. Because they're awesome. I believe that you guys are good ground. And as you, this morning, as you get an offering ready, we're going to bless them. And then we're going to let them bless you again. And you can receive some prayer. And I'm excited to have the children bless this morning, because I know that there is something special that God is doing right now around this generation. So when you're getting your offerings ready, and as you do that, where's Melanie? Is she up here? Melanie! Incipient and in season, and let's worship the Lord for a moment as you come and you sow a seed. And as you do that, everything that we've been hearing about faith and belief and expectation, I want you to sow your seed with faith this morning. That even as Debbie had a dream as a little girl, and that she decided to pursue that with determination and intention, right? That we can live intentionally and expect God to do big things in us as we intention to pursue Him and as we intend to sow and as we live a life intentionally of giving and obedience. And so let's just honor them this morning and sow a seed into their life and their ministry. Thank you, Lord.
God, and Lord, that you have loosed dreams, Lord. You have loosed all kinds.
that I'm going to minister to you. I just want you to be blessed. Don't forget tonight at 7, my classwork will be there. We'll see you on Wednesday. And we just want to have some fun with you guys.
All right, we want all the kids. Debbie, can I talk to you? All the kids.
Like a mother who has twins. So Lord, I declare this double anointing.
God, can I do one or the other? And he would say, no, Debbie, it's like having twins. You don't need to choose. You don't even get to choose which one you love more. You have to love and take care of both of them. But he did remind me, Debbie, this isn't the tour for what I want to do as a nation. And I'm coming back for my church, not your business, but I'm using business to help build the kingdom. And so, Lord, I declare that over each and every person here today, Father God, that they will grab hold of this free gift, Lord. You're giving it free today. You're downloading free today. Dreams and visions, creative ideas, even right now in the house, Lord, you're downloading it free. And so, Lord, I pray that we will receive this free gift, Lord, but that when we leave this house today, that we will not hold on to this gift and think, well, because of it's free, I don't have to do anything with it. Sometimes we think free is not valuable, but Lord, I declare today, this free gift that you are bringing in, this free thing that's happening today, Father God, this is quality. This is not something that is just to be taken for granted, but this free gift, you are saying, now take this gift and do something with it. When you walk outside these doors, ask the Lord, Lord, give me strategy what to do with this gift, Lord, where to go. Expand my thinking, Lord. Use me like a rubber band, Lord. Direct me, Lord. Direct me, Lord. And so, Father God, I declare that over each and every person here today. We love you, Father. We love what you're doing here, Lord. Revival. Revive the dreams and destiny in Jesus' name. Amen.
What time are you doing? Thank you. Something else. Do not look up.
Oh, really?
You see how she squirmed? When he lifted her up and she started fighting, I got you to talk to her.
They have to get together. They have to be intentional about it, you know?
See you.
Welcome.
Linda.
Oh,
Oh,
hill, it's just straight to Harvard.